Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It has been a busy day here in the news bunker. The team has been very busy decorating. You know, we believe on this radio program that Jesus is the reason for the season. And so we do a lot of decorating, and we've got we have the big Christmas wreath outside. We don't do holiday decorations here. We do Christmas decorations. And we have a beautiful nativity scene. And the only problem is The wise men are on the camels, and it's a pretty giant nativity. And for some reason, the camels always tip over. We can't figure that out. So we're working through that issue today. We'll be taking care of that during the commercial breaks. And we're also putting together, I think, Ben Dieter. The last I saw him, he was dressed as an elf running around downstairs trying to throw tinsel onto the tree. So we'll check in with him a little bit later on. Look, we've got a lot going on today. And, you know, every now and again, I like to throw you guys a curveball story. And we've got a lot to talk about in the world of politics, what's happening in South Korea. Also, President Trump going to Notre Dame. He'll be there this weekend. I don't know about you. Sometimes I just wish Trump would stay at Mar-a-Lago in the safety of Mar-a-Lago until Inauguration Day. I appreciate the president wanting to get out there, but I sure would like for him to be very safe and secure. But that's not Donald Trump, and he wants to get out there, and the president-elect is going to be in attendance at the dedication of the new Notre Dame, hoping that Muslims don't burn this one down. But I want to start with a story that came across my desk from, of all places, the Today Show. And I was really surprised by this story, and I was impressed by this story. And I think it's a good just starting off point today, and it's going to be a little weird. So you have to bear with me. I am giving you fair warning that this is an unusual story. Now, you know that I have been very critical of our nation's taxpayer-funded education system. And but something is happening, and we have heard from so many of you that have pulled your kids out of the taxpayer-funded government schools. You have been, some of you have taken extra jobs. You're sending your kid to a private school. You're sending your kid to a Christian school, a parochial school, or in many cases, you are homeschooling. Millions of Americans are now homeschooling their kids. And it's really out of necessity. And honestly, I truly believe that this is going to be the moment that will change the nation. And I say that because something is happening within the Catholic faith tradition. Now, I'm a Southern Baptist, and we've got some issues with our people. We do. And our denomination is a denomination in decline, and I hope that changes. But that's just the reality of it. The evangelicals are just really struggling right now. But the Catholics, there has been a massive surge in Catholicism, and especially among men in America. And we saw that in the NFL with Harrison Butker, who is out there and really setting an example. And that incredible speech he gave, a couple of months ago at the commencement address. And he encouraged young people. Not too much, and again, he's not much older than they are, but encouraging his generation to consider getting married, having children. understanding that there is a role in the household for the man and there's a role in the household for a woman. And it triggered every feminist, every guy that was confused about his pronouns. I mean, it just went bonkers. But I'm telling you, there's something going on. And this story just, it really touched my heart. And I wanted to share it with you. It's written by two ladies, Lindsay Lowe and Christian Burt. They're writers for the Today Show. And they went to Cleveland, Ohio, and they met with some Catholic students. There's a school there called St. Ignatius High School. It is, I believe, run by the Jesuits. This is an all-male school. And this school, they've got everything you would everything that was in a school they would have. They have a football program. They have track and field. Yes, no, I'm sure they have an audiovisual club. No doubt about that. The band. But do you know what the largest club on campus is? I was asking Dieter this. And I said, Dieter, I was telling him, he knows what I'm about to do here. And I said, Dieter, do you know what the largest club on that high school campus at St. Ignatius is? And he said, home economics. No, it was not home economics. And it wasn't even intramurals. The largest club, the largest extracurricular group at St. Ignatius High School in Cleveland, Ohio, is a pallbearers club. I have never heard of such a thing. And I'm being told that this is something that is growing within the Catholic community. And I want to read this story to you because I think it's going to bless your heart. And you better grab some Kleenex. I'm just telling you. Grady Lingahan is 17 years old, and he remembers certain details about the day he served as a pallbearer at a funeral in Cleveland, Ohio, last September. One thing that stands out, it was a Greek Orthodox ceremony, meaning the Mass progressed differently than a Roman Catholic was used to. But Lingahan, perhaps the most striking thing about the funeral was that he did not know the person who had passed away. In fact, there were no loved ones of the deceased there at all. No family could attend because this person did not have any family, he told to the Today Show. Lingahan is a senior at St. Ignatius High School in Cleveland, and he served as a pallbearer at this funeral as part of his school's St. Joseph of Arimathea pallbearer ministry. The program has been running for more than two decades, and they invite juniors and seniors to volunteer to carry men and women who have little or no family to their final place of rest. Lingahan says that while serving at funerals for people who have little or no family is pretty heartbreaking and sad, it also helps him appreciate the role family plays in his own life. It makes you appreciate more of what you are and who you are as a person, he said. St. Ignatius High School launched its pallbearer program in 2003, starting with 12 students who served three funerals in that first year. Now, about 400 students at the school participate, serving between 150 to 180 funerals annually. Now, there are other schools around the country that now run their own pallbearer ministries, including Catholic Memorial, a college prep school in West Roxbury, Massachusetts, the University of Detroit Jesuit High School and Academy in Detroit, and McQuaid Jesuit, a private preparatory school in Rochester, New York. Blaze Weidman is a 16-year-old junior. He says he and his fellow student pallbearers underwent special training to serve. Quote, we had to learn how the casket comes out of the hearse, how to carry it. We practiced a few times carrying it, just getting the steps down and how fast or slow we have to walk with it. But the role at a funeral is not just to carry the casket. These young men also offer spiritual support, sometimes joining in prayer and singing hymns to honor the soul of the person who passed away. Student pallbearers typically volunteer at a range of services, including funerals for the poor and elderly people with no surviving family members, as well as for nuns and people outside the Roman Catholic faith. Quote, it's really extraordinary to take note of someone who was left to die in the cold on the street. Richard Mazchak, the campus ministry coordinator, told the Today Show. They have no family and friends, and anyone is able to contact. It's a reminder that every person, especially in the Christian religious tradition, is made in the image of God and is deserving of a particular regard and respect. St. Ignatius students also participate in an annual service at Potter's Field, a burial ground for the homeless in the Cleveland area. Quote, we've served at funerals where literally the only people in attendance are the six pallbearers, the adult that drives them, the funeral director, and the priest. That's what Pat Valletta told the Today Show. And we've been at other funerals, homes, or funerals where there's been 100 people there. Even when family members of the deceased are present, student pallbearers can serve as a valuable source of comfort. Evan Solar is an 18-year-old senior at St. Ignatius, and he remembers one touching moment that he shared with a woman during a funeral on the west side of Cleveland. Quote, we always hand out a card, a sympathy card, to the family. The woman who I handed it to was not being super emotional throughout the funeral, but when we handed her the card, she broke down in tears and was just so appreciative and thankful. The schools also serve veterans. In 2017, Catholic Memorial College Preparatory School began hosting funeral processions for veterans who died without friends or loved ones. The services often take place in the school's chapel or in the school's gym in front of the entire student body. Can you imagine that, ladies and gentlemen? There are so many of our veterans. Many of them are living out on the streets. They have no family. They've been through so much. And for whatever circumstance, they find themselves homeless, alone. And yet these homeless veterans, when they die, the entire student body shows up to honor that veteran. What does that say about these Catholic schools, ladies and gentlemen? Peter Follen is the president of Catholic Memorial. He said kids begin to recognize that those are people who have sacrificed much and have displayed incredible courage, duty, and honor. And now in their final moments, for a whole host of reasons, some of which we don't know enough about each individual, they are alone. And we are here to stand with them and bring them into our community. Mr. Follen goes on to say that has a transformational impact on a 15 or 16-year-old boy. And it's true. There's a photo that goes along with this story, and it shows these young men in their khaki pants and their blue coats. They're wearing gloves. It's snowing. And they're carrying a casket of a veteran, an American flag draped over the coffin, snow falling. And these young men are out there doing their duty. This tells me something about this country. And I want to read this quote from this 16-year-old kid. He said, the real service and what really makes an effect on people is when you can show up and be present to people. That's what stands out the most. We are all called to serve. And that doesn't always look like building a well. What an amazing line there. You know, so many times in our faith traditions, we love to go on the mission trips, and we want to go and we want to build a house or a church or a well for somebody in a foreign country, when in reality, there is so much that we could be doing right here in our own backyard. But what an example that these teachers and these administrators are setting for these young men to teach them about duty and honor, to teach them about helping those that are downtrodden. I mean, isn't that what it's about? I think these kinds of schools will make America stronger and greater, ladies and gentlemen. So I say God bless you. And what a great story. And I'm so glad that the Today Show actually told the story. It's a story that needs to be told. So many times we hear so many of the bad things that are happening within our religious communities, when in fact an overwhelming majority are doing God's work. And God bless these teenagers that are out there standing up and volunteering. This is not some sort of a mandatory thing they have to do. These young men are volunteering. What does that say about their hearts? What does that say about their spirit? And what does it say about their parents who are raising these young people? And ladies and gentlemen, as much as we love the incredible female warriors and patriots of America, if we are truly going to be great and powerful and strong as a nation, we also need the young men of America to step up and stand up. And for so many years, they have been told not to do that. But now, through this Generation Z, something remarkable is happening, and there is a full-on pushback to the culture by these young men and these young women. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a great thing. And we saw that manifested with the numbers of young people who went out and voted for Donald Trump in the 2024 presidential election. So, look, we got a lot to get through today. I wanted to share that story with you. I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle. But again, God bless these young Catholic kids. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Folks, hang on tight because we're heading into one of the most critical elections this nation's ever seen. And let's be honest, there's no guarantee it's going to go your way. We've already seen how far the radical left will go to push their agenda. If Kamala Harris takes the White House, you can expect more government control, higher taxes, and a full-blown assault on your freedoms. The stakes could not be higher, and you need to make it a priority to shield yourself. Gold is already up 21% this year and still climbing. This is your golden opportunity to fortify your savings. Text GOLDEN to 24999. And my friends at Priority Gold, with over two decades of experience and thousands of five-star reviews, will send you a free gold investor guide. Priority Gold makes it easy to diversify into physical gold, silver, and platinum, but you gotta act fast. Text GOLDEN to 24999 for your free guide. Keep your retirement golden. Text GOLDEN to 24999 now.
You know, with you and Angola, a vibrant city, the city I know is not Angola, but in Angola, in a vibrant city.
Oh, my God. That guy's cooked. He's done. That's your president, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden. He's in Africa. By the way, Joe Biden just announced $1 billion in handouts to victims of African natural disasters. What was it the good people of North Carolina got? $750, and a lot of them didn't even get that. Many people in North Carolina are still living without homes. It is incredibly cold. They had snow last night, and people are really struggling and suffering across much of Western North Carolina. And the federal government has all but abandoned them. And the reason why is very simple. It's because most of them were supporters of President Donald J. Trump. And they're being punished because of that by the weaponized federal government. So we're giving $1 billion to people in Africa that lost their homes to floods or whatever. But the Biden administration is turning a blind eye to what's happening in Western North Carolina. That is so wrong. And Donald Trump's going to fix all that, but we still have a long time between now and Inauguration Day to get help to the people of North Carolina. If you're looking for a place to help out, I would encourage you to go check out Samaritan's Purse. They are doing some incredible work there, boots on the ground. Yeah, Biden's done. You know, a lot of people are saying that Biden was just being a good dad by pardoning Hunter Biden. Do you believe that? We're going to talk about that coming up after the break. Do you believe that Joe Biden was a good father? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. MyPillow is excited to announce their Christmas extravaganza is finally here. Get this season's flannel sheets for as low as $59.98. They won't last long, so get them while you can. Their famous My Slippers, those haven't been on sale for over a year. Normally $119, but for a limited time, only $59.98. And their six-piece towel sets are back in stock with extremely limited quantities, only $29.98. With hundreds of MyPillow products, there's something for everyone on your Christmas list. From bathrobes, duvets, quilts, down comforters, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and be sure to use promo code STARNS to save on all MyPillow products. That's promo code STARNS. Flannel sheets for as low as $59.98 or the six-piece towel sets for just $29.98, but that's not all. They're extending their 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2025. Plus, all orders $75 or more ship absolutely free. Oh my gosh. So I just rushed downstairs. We have a multi-level news bunker, ladies and gentlemen, and Ben Dieter's downstairs. I thought you were dressed as an elf. They told me you were had like the pointy shoes and everything.
Good morning, Todd.
Afternoon.
It's afternoon. How are you?
Good.
I'm trying to figure out why I can't hear anything, but I can hear you in studio. Yes, no, I'm dressed for the season, and I took off the elf costume, and we're ready to go. Although we have Elmer's glue, we have Glorilla Snot, you name it, it's going on the bottom of those camel hooves.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Trying to fit, yeah, the camels fall down. I don't understand why that is. Anyway, we've got, Dieter, you sent me a copy of Pete Hegseth's the letter that his mother sent him. And this is back in 2018, and this is causing all sorts of controversy up on Capitol Hill. And I have some thoughts about this, and I've known Pete for a very long time. And his latest wife was my executive producer back when I was at Fox News. So I know her very well. She produced my Fox Nation show.
What wife was that?
That was number three.
Okay.
The one he's currently married to.
All right.
And so anyway, he had been previously married, and then he met up with my executive producer. They had a child together, and both of them divorced their spouses and then got married. And so now they have a huge family.
Mm-hmm.
So this was all really within the past 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
That all of that happened.
It's a small world.
So anyway, you know, they're saying that, you know, that it was unfair to release the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And that and the New York Times failed to include the immediate follow-up letter where the mom said, I really didn't mean all of this, but you know you got to get your act together.
So what they're saying is after the Times it had reported on this letter, they then followed up with this. Basically, I was reacting, and real short, Todd, and I'll try to fill in for the listeners of the Todd Starn Show. She basically said, my son, you are a piece of blank, and I can't say that on the radio. That's kind of what the email said. For example, she writes, as a mother and as a woman, I feel I must speak out. You are an abuser of women. That is the ugly truth and blah, 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 blah. Then after it kind of became a big deal, they released another part of the email and said she was reacting in anger and rage. And that's where that was coming from.
How many of us have had a moment with our parents where you have just screwed up and it takes a come to Jesus email or telephone call to get you back on the straight and narrow?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you, has anybody in the audience, have you ever, I mean, has your mom, the saintly woman, has she ever, you know, ripped you a new one?
Saint Dieter, Saint Jennifer.
Saint Dieter.
Saint Jennifer. yes, though an email, my mom would just pick up the phone, and if she found out that I was cheating on the person that I was in love, oh my gosh. I mean, I would go home and I would get whacked.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't get an email. And then she probably wouldn't do then a follow-up email, which apologized for everything in the email.
I think it's one of those written out of, and again, there's a lot of context that we're not privileged to. My understanding is the email was also sent to, I think this was this wife number one or wife number two. I can't remember. Anyway, I suspect wife number two leaked it to the Times.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to throw, a lot of people are saying, well, this is all disqualifying. There are all these allegations. Now it's just piling on. You know, you had the incident in San Diego, which to me, again, the police said there was no crime committed. They investigated. It appeared that this woman who was married and had her husband at the event maybe felt bad and tried to, you know, create
a story that she was the victim.
You know, so I don't know. I wasn't there. But I want to throw this out there. Here's a guy that has served in combat zones, a guy who has probably seen very horrible things. I'm not excusing any of this, but I'm just wondering, as a coping mechanism, you come back from war, and you know what? A lot of guys are messed up. You know, that's just the reality. A lot of guys, they start drinking. A lot of guys have problems. And I'm just wondering if maybe that's part of it. But it just seems to me that this is overkill.
Mm-hmm.
With the level of attacks that they're going on, that they're dumping on this guy.
Do you think that the team, the transition team, knew about all of this? Because it was a pretty quick selection of Pete, and then it all started coming out. And do you think, had they have known all of these, whether they're verifiable scandals or not, they would have stuck with Pete Hegseth?
That's a tough question. Because Donald Trump values, more than anything else, he values loyalty. And loyalty trumps everything. I mean, and the reality is, and I hear people say, well, you know, we've all done bad things in our lives. Yes, and I get that. But the question is, would someone with Pete's background make it through an FBI check? Charlie Gasparino over at Fox, he says, I find it fascinating the left is blown away that Pete Hegseth might have had in his post-military life a few too many, particularly after seeing bullets fly by his head and witnessing the horrors of battle. It's an odd double standard from a group of people whose entire identity is wrapped up in allowing criminals to roam free based on root causes and social justice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's done nothing illegal. He's done nothing criminal at all. So you may have a problem with somebody who drinks. Okay. Well, that's your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but right now he appears to be a great family man, owns a farm in Tennessee.
Are you able to do the job? And that, I think, is the top qualification for, I mean, look at Trump. Trump is not perfect. Trump had how many wives? He's had a couple wives. And I'm not saying it's the same story happening in Trump's life, but the American people look past Trump's record of marriages. I mean, he went through a couple because they saw that he was qualified to get this country back on track. And I think Americans are willing to forgive someone with maybe a checkered past like Pete's if he's able to clean up what's happening in the Pentagon right now. And I think Trump sees that. He's a go-getter.
The other big story, and again, I think he's going to be confirmed unless something else big happens. But I do wonder about the vetting. Was there a vetting process here? Because they're not using the FBI. They're using private investigators. And it just seems to me, if you are, and this is just my opinion, the most important thing is not Pete Hegseth or Pam Bondi or Marco Rubio. The most important thing is Donald Trump and his agenda. And you don't want anything that's going to interfere with that or cause a distraction. So it just seems to me that you need to, if you've been nominated, you need to at least come forward to the people and say, hey, look, appreciate the nomination, but here are some things that you need to know about.
Mm-hmm.
And at least they can deal with it and they can make that determination.
Yeah.
That may have happened.
I think
it may not have happened.
I think the best litmus test for whether these are solid picks or not are the ones that the media hates the most. And that is people like Kash Patel and Pete Hegseth. And so if I hear The View and I hear Morning Joe celebrating Trump's pick of I don't know, Marco Rubio. Okay, whatever. That makes me a little bit. That makes me question, just because I don't trust people like Morning Joe when they're losing and having meltdowns daily on their morning shows because of a Pete Hegseth. That's all the more reason for me that I think we need some of these disruptors.
Yeah, I'm with you, and that's the issue here. Is that these people are not there to advance an agenda or a program. They are there to follow Trump's orders. And especially when it comes to the Education Department, Linda McMahon, she's got to dismantle it.
Mm-hmm.
If we do not dismantle the Department of Education, this administration will have failed. I'm just flat out telling you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's causing the problems in the country is our education system.
Yeah. Although I will say that cabinet does look a little foxy.
Like,
I'm just saying.
Like hot or...
It looks like they're run down. It looks like they're talentless.
Oh, Fox News.
Yeah.
Like Fox News. Okay.
It does kind of look like their entire cast has taken over the cabinet. I'm just speculating. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe Trump is watching Fox and he goes, that person's doing pretty good on TV. I'm going to pick him as my next. And who knows? That might be successful. Trump was a TV guy.
You think he did that? You don't think that he's he does a deep dive into people?
I think that Trump likes optics. I think that Trump likes the drama. I think Trump could have waited a while to release some of these names that he's picked for his cabinet. Why did he roll them out so quick? I think because he obviously is coming in with an agenda and he wants to fulfill the mandate that was given to him on November 5th. But that being said, Trump loves a news cycle. And I think half of these picks, like the Matt Gaetz thing, I don't think Trump actually thought he was going to get confirmed. It was a great news cycle. And Trump loves the drama.
I will say this. One of the benefits of picking all your nominees this early is that by the time the nomination process rolls around and the hearings roll around, there's really not going to be any surprises. And that's a concern. Imagine if he had waited until Inauguration Day to announce Hegseth, and then all of this came out. I think that would have killed the nomination. I don't think he would have made it through the hearings.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, you've got Hegseth up on Capitol Hill. We're going to be talking to Marsha Blackburn in just a little while, and you know, we're going to get her take on. She's been meeting all of these nominees, and we'll see how they do.
Yeah, Lankford's joining your show tomorrow, and he's also been meeting with a lot of these people.
Todd,
we've got to talk to them all. We're working on Joni Ernst, and she also has real issues with Pete Hegseth because of what he said. The military.
Well, I got issues with Ernst. So
let me just say, disclaimer, booking for Todd's show, Todd calls balls and strikes, and that includes on his side, on his team.
And a lot of them don't like it.
It makes my job almost impossible.
But I don't care. We've got it.
I care because these people have to come back on.
Only if they're honest with our audience.
Their schedulers are like, can Todd please avoid this topic? I'm like, there are no promises. Todd will never give talking points
and
ahead
I don't
of time.
Like, I don't like hemmers and haws. If you're going to hem and a haw, go on NPR.
Haws?
Haw. Hem and haw.
I didn't realize that was a verb.
It is on this program. All right, Ben Dieter. All right, so folks, just curious, Pete Hegseth, are you still on board with the Pete Hegseth nomination, in spite of all of these reports coming out? Again, nothing criminal here. And I guarantee you that everybody out there, you've done something in your past that you're not proud of. Some of you have done multiple things in your past you're not proud of, but you have grown and you have moved on. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, what's going on in the great state of Maine? Come on, people. Your Democrat governor up there, Janet Mills. This is the headline. Maine's Democrat governor splashes $50,000 on nursing bras for chest-feeding birthing parents. What? Governor Janet Mills using $50,000 to provide these chest-feeding parents who might be on welfare. Now, they use this term cisgender. May I just say, I think that's a slur, Ben Dieter. I truly do. This, you are either male or female. And this cisgender crap, that's a made-up word.
I don't even know what it means. Can we get a definition? Cis? Is that spelled like sister? Like, I call my sister cis.
No.
S-I-S.
C-I-S.
Oh, sounds like an agency.
They're making up their own. They're making up their own words.
So she's, what are they, nursing bras?
Nursing bras. Oh, they're also going to give them to illegal aliens.
Of course.
So if you're, again, a chest feeder, so if Pete Buttigieg and his Chastin.
Todd.
So which one nurses? Which one has that responsibility?
Well, I think in the photo, Chastin had the babies on his chesters.
Boobies. Okay. That's unfortunate. So if they were, I guess if they want to move to Maine, they would get these free nursing bras. And they're not free. You people in Maine, you're having to pay for this.
Ask the WLOB people. That's appalling.
This is disgusting. Maine has offered nursing bras to welfare parents, but the new agreement will provide larger garments. The bras currently available are extraordinarily small and do not fit 80% of the participants.
That's because they're men. They're men.
He's a man. What's wrong with you?
You're going to need a D, a double D. You can't. This is insane. Of course they're going to need larger nursing bras if they're giving them to full-fledged men.
So Nursing Naturals offers bra sizes up to a 5XL. Jeez, Alou. They retail for about $25 a piece. Wow, is that? I don't know.
Ladies,
I don't know.
No, you just run past that section.
This is insane.
Was there any reasoning behind this, or is there a large?
They are large.
Demand for nursing bras for men in the state of Maine?
I have no idea.
Just thought they just love catching lobsters.
They have a lot of lumberjacks up there. I wonder if do they come in like.
Plaid?
Oh, sweet Lord. Nursing bras are designed. This is terrible.
It's too early for this.
According to the CDC, of course, they're involved. An individual does not need to have given birth to breastfeed or chest feed. Oh, I would disagree with that. I would disagree.
Oh, my God. They do say some men can lactate. I hate to say that. That's okay. What I read.
Go stand in the corner.
All right, I'm
that's
going.
Inappropriate.
Sorry.
That's inappropriate. Doctors told the Daily Mail that the CDC has a responsibility to disclose the lack of research and potential risks of men breastfeeding babies. One of the medications used to produce milk in biological men has been linked to heart problems in babies. Because if you're the baby and you're like, you're sitting there and, you know, it's lunchtime and you're like, something doesn't taste quite right here.
Yeah, it's like pink milk.
Like, what?
Something off with the pink milk.
The poor little baby's like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
I mean, you just wonder. All right. So are you people in Maine? Are you not rising up? I think this is when you have to march on the state capitol. But now they're saying, according to this article and the CDC, that biological men who transition to women can breastfeed babies. What in the world? Ladies and gentlemen, this is insanity. Just insanity. And by the way, they're using your tax dollars to pay for all this stuff. Jeez alert. Large Marge.
Or Hank.
Or my mother's name was Larry. You know, that's going to be somebody's bio, right? I was breastfed by my daddy. All right, we'll be right back in America. I'm going to go throw up.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements. Changing the world one life at a time.
Oh, I love it. I'm 83 years old, and it has helped me.
Everything was okay. I feel better. I just turned 90, so I'm doing real good.
I'm doing great. You know, some guys tell me, oh, that's psychological, man. I said, let me tell you something. I don't care what it is. It's working.
Start your journey with Balance of Nature supplements. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Todd Starnes, your voice of truth and hope across this great nation. Thank you for being a part of the Todd Starnes radio program today. And if you would like to join the conversation, just give me a telephone call. It's that simple. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, we've been pretty fired up over the Justice Department, and honestly, it is imperative that Kash Patel become the next FBI director. We have got to get a handle on what's been going on over at FBI HQ. And a day before yesterday, I shared with you my thoughts on this, and I wrote this on X, and our next guest actually shared this with his massive audience. You know, this Justice Department, they have ordered a 75-year-old pro-life Catholic grandma to report to prison because she prayed outside an abortion clinic. Paulette Harlow, we've been covering her story. She's been ordered to serve a 2-year sentence. Her crime, by the way, praying outside an abortion clinic. Meanwhile, you got Joe Biden out there pardoning his son Hunter for crimes he committed or may have committed going back 10 years. And when you throw in the stories about the FBI trying to recruit priests to spy on their parishioners in Virginia, in Richmond, Virginia, our WRVA audience, the number of times that we've heard stories of parents, law-abiding gun owners, other pro-lifers who have been raided, their homes raided in the dark of night by the FBI. This has to end. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend from the great state of Texas, Congressman Chip Roy. Congressman, always good to have you on the show.
Great to be on, Todd. Hope you had a blessed Thanksgiving.
And you too, Congressman. So, a lot of people out there seem to be surprised that Joe Biden did this. I really wasn't all that surprised. Were you?
Not in the slightest bit. And frankly, I mean, I might say something a little shocking. Like, I understand why a father would pardon his son. But the depth of this and the breadth of this goes right to the heart of the problem. It was a pardon in an attempt to cover up the entire Biden crime family and the depth of the corruption, the ties to Ukraine, the lies. There's a reason it was dated back to 2014. There's a reason that it's as long as it is. And you bring up the obvious rank hypocrisy of what we're doing to the rule of law, both in terms of the border, which you didn't talk about, but the abuse of Americans with the FACE Act and putting people like Paulette Harlow in prison. But it's just, it's disgusting because it turns the rule of law on its head. Again, most of us who are fathers can understand the impulse to pardon a son, but not to basically try to absolve the entire family from the corruption that has been unfolding before our eyes.
We're hearing that this may not be the only Biden family member that gets a pardon. Right. Are you hearing anything about that?
Well, I mean, obviously the antennas are up about, you know, how far reaching the president's pardons will go. And look, I'm just telling you, I mean, I think what that's going to do is set a roadmap for President Trump when it comes to J6 and other folks to be pretty aggressive and just coming in and giving either entire, just, you know, broad brushstroke pardon, or certainly all but, you know, a handful. I can imagine that President Trump will come in and do that, because those are people that have been abused by this administration and targeted for political prosecutions. But yeah, I got to believe that President Biden wants to figure out how to insulate him and his family from the very clear and obvious corruption and enrichment of their family. It's nakedly obvious, right? We can all see it. The issue has been following the money and proving it up without having a Department of Justice. The biggest worry he's got now is you've got a Department of Justice that will want to seek the truth. We've been running up against that, and there's a limit to what Congress can do in exposing it without the power of the Department of Justice to pursue it.
I'm curious about the – I'm a fiscal conservative, and I just am – I'm so concerned about how we – and by we, I mean Republicans – are spending money. These hearings we've had, whatever became of all of that? I mean, they were great hearings. There was a lot of information that came out. But whatever became of all those hearings involving Hunter Biden and the Biden family crime syndicate?
Well, Jamie Comer, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, and obviously Jim Jordan, both friends of mine, you know, had multiple hearings across the last few years. They've got a fairly significant inventory of detailed accounting of what they believe occurred. As I said, we've been shooting with you know, frankly, without having the arsenal of the Department of Justice behind us, right? And so you're going through and you're doing the investigations, compiling the information. They've got that. I believe that they're putting out reports. They're going to have all of that, and they can hand over that to the Department of Justice. And to be clear, you know, I still think there's some questions that get begged by all of this. So if Hunter Biden's been pardoned, so he doesn't need to plead the Fifth Amendment, is he not still fair game for coming before Congress to answer to what occurred, at least for history? I haven't really kind of studied that or thought through it all in the power of Congress, but I don't believe we can just let this go. I think we've got to expose for the American people the truth. So I hope all of that information, all of those records will be laid out and put out in full reports, but also that the Department of Justice pursue the truth, irrespective of the pardons of who may or may not be prosecuted for it.
I'm curious your thoughts about Kash Patel, and if he does become the FBI director, what do you want to see him do with the FBI?
Yeah, I want him to, return the FBI to its core function, right? It is not supposed to be a politicized, weaponized agency against the American people, not supposed to be targeting on the American people for exercising their constitutional rights, for example, the abortion protesters through the FACE Act. But rather, you know, you want to get it back to basically its core function of dealing with organized crime across states, right? Otherwise, local law enforcement is supposed to deal with that. And we've turned it into a massive federal police state that has been used aggressively, as most of the videos you can see in the arrest for January 6th, the persecution of the pro-lifers, numerous other fronts targeting former elected officials. That's what I want him to do, is go in there and root that out. And frankly, he's going to have to go in with a sledgehammer to destroy the politicized, weaponized portions of the FBI. There's still thousands of good line agents who just want to go put true bad guys in jail. I worked with them. I was in the U.S. Attorney's Office prosecuting drug runners and, you know, true criminals, people associated with cartels, et cetera. That's what the FBI needs to be focused on, where they add resources to supplement state and local law enforcement to find bad guys and put them in jail.
Congressman, I'm curious how you feel about Tom Holman, the border czar. Looks like they're going to be utilizing the resources of a lot of local law enforcement to help round up these illegals.
Well, as they should. We've got the 287G program. We can expand on that, make sure the resources are there. You had the Ninth Circuit, even of all circuits, had a ruling just today basically making clear that federal authorities can certainly get in and do deportations over the objections of local authorities. And look, I'm a federalist, but this is a clear federal responsibility and duty. And Tom Holman's a good man. He's a good friend. We've already been talking about policies, things we need to do in Congress to supplement what he's doing. He's a friend, as is Russ Vogt over at the OMB selection, who will be great and instrumental. I bring him up for a reason, because what we do at OMB and how we budget and how we do reconciliation is going to have a lot to do with whether Tom Holman can be successful. And there's been a lot of great appointments. Those guys, Brendan Carr over at the FCC, who will defend free speech, you know, target all of the nonsense and abuse that's been going on there. Cash Patel, we've already talked about. You know, look, these are disruptors, but also people who understand how to get stuff done. And so I think these are good picks by the president.
I think they're solid picks. My concern is our party, Congressman, and you know how things go.
Yeah.
Do you think the Republicans in Congress are going to ultimately back the president-elect's agenda?
I think that Republicans in Congress are going to give lip service to backing the president's agenda, and behind the scenes they're going to be stonewalling it unless some of us can kick them right in the rear end and make them deliver. That's my blunt assessment. Truth is, you're already hearing excuses. Well, we don't have 60 votes in the Senate. You're already hearing some of my colleagues say, well, we can't do, you know, broad mass deportations, which, by the way, I think is effectively, just call it what it is, repatriation. We are sending you back to your home country.
That's
your home country. And you've got some already apologizing, saying we can't do that. You've got people already apologizing for, we're not going to be able to, you know, reduce the deficits to the level that you fiscal hawks want. You know, they're about to, you know, blow another $115 billion without paying for it for the disaster relief. Now, your heart, my heart as Christians, goes out to people in North Carolina and throughout the Southeast. But you got to pay for this stuff. You can't just write another blank check. They just voted for $200 billion to shift Social Security funding from some people to others, which will cause Social Security to be bankrupt 6 months earlier. This is the natural way of things for Republicans in Washington. They need to understand they will change their ways or they will lose power. That's it. I'm going to be on the side of change. I'm going to be on the side of disrupting the status quo. I'm going to be on the side of delivering for President Trump and the American people. There's a large block here who want to do it, and I think some people here in this conference are in for a rude awakening.
Congressman, I own a news talk radio station in Memphis, Tennessee. One of the things that angers me is that the money I earn from my private business goes to fund competition across the street over at NPR. And I would love, I've already sent a message to Elon and Vivek, I would love for them to just dismantle the funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You know, if they want to have that kind of stuff, they need to pay for it on their own dime and not mine.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg, Todd. I don't disagree with you at all. But what about, you know, all the money that we give to the United Nations
to
be used, literally turned around and used against us with respect to funding all of the illegal aliens being dumped into our country, or the World Health Organization, or funding all of the infinite number of programs? I mean, look, let's go back to FEMA for a second. Do you know we're funding, for example, through disaster funding, building bike paths in Alaska? We're still funding burials for people from COVID. Now, I'm sorry people died from COVID, but people die every day. Your disaster aid dollars are being funneled to people to pay for them to take a taxi to the morgue, identify somebody, and then bury them in California from COVID. It is absolutely insane.
Golly.
What we do. And we've got to end it, and we've got to end it now.
I'm with you 1,000% there. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Appreciate you, and thank you for fighting the good fight up at Capitol Hill.
God bless you, sir. Hope you have a great Christmas. Maybe we'll talk before then.
Definitely. All right, Congressman Chip Roy, everybody, represents the 21st District there in the great state of Texas. And you heard him. He said that a lot of our Republican lawmakers are going to give good lip service, but behind the scenes, they're already working to stonewall the president-elect's agenda. Folks, that means we're gonna keep our eye on all of them. And I can promise you this. We will call them out when they stand in the way. We do not have a lot of time. We cannot dilly. We cannot dally, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot dilly-dally. We gotta work. We got a lot of time and not a lot of time to do it. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to Angie in Gainesville, Georgia. She says the hospital gave her husband a pregnancy test. I can't wait to hear this story. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
In a world where healthcare costs spiral out of control, ShareRight emerges as the beacon of hope, offering healthcare done the right way. We understand the struggle of balancing health and finances. That's why ShareRight fosters a community of support, where members share medical expenses and encourage one another. Picture saving 30 to 50% on your healthcare bills. With ShareRight, it's not just a dream, it's reality, but it's more than just savings. ShareRight grants you the access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies. Don't settle for outdated insurance. Join the ShareRight movement and experience healthcare done the right way. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So in the last hour, we were talking about the state of Maine, your governor there, Janet Mills, using $50,000 in tax money to provide supersized nursing bras for parents who chest feed. Now, this is all, basically they're giving men bras, these men who identify as gals. And that brings me to Angie in Gainesville, Georgia. So, Angie, I'm very curious to hear your story. What happened at the hospital?
Well, apparently we're now considered, and I'm not going to say it on the radio because I'm a Christian, but we are now considered the crapster. My husband is disabled, and we are both actually disabled due to an illegal immigrant hitting us. But anyway, we ended up taking my husband to the ER at Northeast Georgia Health Systems in Gainesville, Georgia, which is all over Northeast. And if you Google them and you look them up, they bring in about $7.2 billion in revenue for the Rhino Brian Kemp. So my husband ended up going to the emergency room, and we ended up getting the statement because we have to pay 20% of a hospital bill where Medicare doesn't cover it. There was a $289 pregnancy test on his medical bill.
Wait, what?
A $289 blood pregnancy test. We called the hospital at least 8 rows to the billing department, and they're like, it is normal for anybody that comes through the emergency room, no matter what age or gender, they automatically get a pregnancy test. We called Medicare and told them what was going on with the health system because these are taxpayers' dollars. My husband worked 2 jobs all of his life. It took us 4 months to get this pregnancy test off of his medical bill, off his medical statement.
So, Angie, just to be clear, so your husband was not in a motherly way?
No, my husband is not in a motherly way at all. And the sad part about it is when it was investigated, and this is what I told the girl that answered your phone, the sad part about it is they're doing this to everybody. A 90-year-old man, 90-year-old woman, kids even under the age of 5 get pregnancy tests. It's an automatic thing at Northeast Georgia Health System.
This is the craziest thing I've ever heard, Angie. Did the people at the hospital, were they like, Yeah, we get it. It's just crazy. Or were they like, well, you never know. You just may be with child.
Nope. They just said that all they told me and my husband when we called the billing office several times, it is policy and protocol. They did not give us a reason. So we called Medicare. Wow. And my husband is 54 years old. And Medicare is saying, you're not supposed to be charged. Wait a minute. We have to cover 80% of this bill.
Well,
so the $289.
And he's well beyond the childbearing age, too. So that makes no sense at all.
If he's a man, I'm like, and then we talked to several other people, and Cass Patel was one of them. We actually met Cass Patel. We were Trump captains, and we have an office in Gainesville, Georgia, for the Trump administration. And we actually talked to Cass Patel, trying to become the FBI thing. And we asked him if he would probe Northeast Georgia Health System into what they're doing, because this is
good
crazy.
For you. Good for you.
It doesn't matter. Angie, I mean, we thought it was funny at first, but now we see how Medicare is being built.
That's it. Angie, gotta run. I'm glad your husband wasn't pregnant. You know, that would be a surprise in many ways. Angie, thanks for that. Again, Angie saying the hospital there in Gainesville is giving guys pregnancy tests. What is going on, America? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room?
My pronouns are Z's and Z'er.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.work.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So the late, great Roger Ailes, back in 1995, interviewed Donald Trump. Somebody sent me this interview last night, and it's just fascinating to hear the conversation. Of course, Roger was the founder of Fox News Channel and was a dear friend and still very close to his wife, Beth, who now lives in Palm Beach, Florida. Roger passed away. And Roger Ailes, had it not been for Roger Ailes, I think we would have lost the country, because there would not have been a Fox News Channel. There would not have been conservative media. And after he left, and many of you, and I remember as I was going out and traveling around the country during my latter years at Fox, I was there for 15 years, and people would say, you know, something's changing at Fox. I can't put my finger on it, but just something's not right. And the viewers could tell that things had changed. And the reality is that after Roger got fired and all of that mess, and then Bill Shine left, and there were just very few people left at Fox who understood the original mission of the channel. And that's why they've sort of wobbled. They haven't lost much of their audience, but they've wobbled. So anyway, back in 95, Roger Ailes, this was pre-Fox, sat down and did an interview with Donald Trump. And we're going to play this. It's a little long, so I may jump in, but I want you to listen. And within the context of where we are today, almost, you know, what, 30 years later, let's listen.
You went through some tough times, but I'll tell you something. I've known you a long time, and I saw you at your peak. I also saw you during those bad times. And you know what always impressed me? You were no different.
Well, thank you. That's a great compliment.
You were no different.
That's a good compliment. You can't take it too seriously. I mean, I know you're going to be up. I'll be up. I'll be down. I'll be... You can't really... Guys like us...
Yeah, just keep coming.
You just keep coming. That's all you can do. And yeah, sometimes it's not easy. They say, come on out to dinner, and you have 400 people, and they're looking and staring, and they're saying, I wonder how he's taking adversity. But you learn a lot about yourself, and you learn a lot about other people. You learn about loyalty. I learned a lot about loyalty. I had people that I would have bet the ranch on, and they were not as loyal as they should have been.
Right.
And I had people that I wouldn't have, and they turned out to be, I mean, unbelievable.
Really. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So you just can't tell. It's not color. It's not race. It's not religion. It's not anything, Roger. You just can't tell.
Rich guys are often not well-liked guys. But what's interesting to me is the average, the guy on the street, the cab drivers, the guys working on the road crews, they all go, hey, Donald, how's it going? Hey, it's almost like they feel very comfortable with you, like you're one of them. And I've never quite figured out how you bridged it.
The people that don't like me are the rich people. Okay. It's a funny thing. I mean, they can't stand me. I mean, I have friends, and I have not only friends, I have enemies, jerks. They work. They hurt people. They this, they that. Yeah. And then they call up, can you help me get a reservation at a restaurant? Okay. I say, what's the purpose of being rich if you can't get a table at a restaurant? The people that like me are the people that you're talking about.
Yeah.
The rich people do not like Donald Trump.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, I sort of love it.
We're back talking with one of the most famous men in the country, and for good reason. He's also a really nice guy, and he does an awful lot for other people that doesn't get reported in the press. The press sometimes treats you good, sometimes they love to hate you, sometimes they love you, sometimes they hate you.
Very uneven. Some are very good, but I've met some of the most dishonest people I've ever met are in the press. I mean, they are literally some of the most dishonest, despicable people. And, you know, when you see the public hates the press so much, mm-hmm. The public understands. Some of the most truly dishonest, and I mean people where you tell them something, they know exactly what they should be writing, and they write exactly the opposite for the sake of a story. They're truly despicable people in many cases.
Tell me about Mar-a-Lago.
It's a fabulous house. It's the greatest house in the United States, easily by far, by any account. And it's a great private social club right now. And it's something we're very proud of. I mean, it's really taken shape.
So now to join that private club, it costs, what, $75,000 a year?
$75,000 to join. And, you know, during the bad times, I'm sitting here with this house that cost a fortune to maintain, $3 million a year. And I'm saying, is this ridiculous? And I started this process to get it into sort of an income-producing thing. But I really did it to save Mar-a-Lago, because ultimately, how many jerks are like Donald Trump that are going to spend this kind of money? It's truly one of the great landmarks in the country.
What did it cost to keep that up?
About $3 million a year.
Just to run it?
Just to run
keep it up.
And you know what? $3 million is a lot of money, but in bad times, it's a lot of money. So I said, you know what? I'll probably have bad times again someday. I want to make sure that this little sucker is taken care of. So it's really, it's just going to be a great thing and very, very successful.
Would you ever run for politics, or would you worry about them going after your life? I mean, messing up you too. How would you feel if he went into politics?
I think he would do terrific.
You know, there's a certain dishonesty, unfortunately, that you need for running for office. Now, it's an unfortunate thing, but you would know this perhaps better than anybody in the world, right?
I've coached a few.
I'm a pretty straight guy, and I'm not sure that somebody that really calls it like it is and says this is what you have to do, I'm not sure that kind of a guy gets elected. Maybe so, maybe not. Everybody wants me to do it. They all want me to run. But I would take a much harder stand. I'd take a much more difficult stand, I would say. Make a couple of enemies. I think I'd make a lot of friends, ultimately. But I'm not sure that type of person is really electable.
If the United States government took a firmer stand with foreign countries, would we be better off, or are we so much now a part of the nation of the community of nations that we can't really afford to offend anybody?
I think we'd be better off, and I think we'd be far more respected. I just think that people would have far greater respect for this country if we took a much tougher stand.
All right, there you go. Fascinating conversation. And, you know, it's interesting, a couple of things about Trump. First of all, he is a straight shooter. What you see is what you get. And I know that irritates a lot of folks out there. I find it very refreshing, to be honest with you. You may not agree with him on everything, and that's okay. But you know where the man stands. And he has been living this way his entire life. And isn't it interesting, though, that Trump, and he actually talked about this early on in the interview, that he gets along with the blue-collar workers, the construction guys and the engineers and the electricians and the plumbers. He actually gets along with those guys better than he does with his fellow multimillionaires. Why do you think that is? I suspect a lot of it has to do with his upbringing and the fact that as a builder, he's hanging out with these guys 24/7. You know, Trump is a pretty simple guy when it comes down to it. I mean, his mother's meatloaf is on the menu down there at Mar-a-Lago. Very delicious, by the way. He likes to go to, you know, KFC, McDonald's. We know these stories. But when you go back, the very first part of it really struck a chord with me because in this business, look, if you're working at McDonald's and you forget to put a large fry in somebody's bag, you know what? The only person that's going to know that is the customer. So if you screw up, the customer is going to know about it, not the whole world. If you're in my business and you make a mistake, you screw up, everybody hears about it. And you have to make a decision early on that you're not going to let all of the ugly talk bother you. And that's what Trump was saying, is that, you know what? You're going to have great successes and you're going to have great failures. And you've got to be the same person through the great failures as you were through the great successes. And you got to get up the next day. You got to go out to the same restaurants and you got to soldier on. You got to plow through it all. And he's true. It's right. And what a great life lesson. I'm telling you, folks, the country is going to be in great hands in January. We just have to make sure we have a country left between now and then. I mean, this is insane what's going on out there. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Don in North Carolina listening to us on the Talk Station. Hi, Don. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon.
All right, let's put Don on hold, and we'll get back to Don when he's ready. Let's go to Gary in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hi, Gary. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon again, and always ready. Just a couple comments and for you, and I'd like to hear your take on it. Number one, they have to retire the word autopsy of the Harris campaign. I hear it about 100 times a week on different networks when I'm cruising through the channels. And, you know, there was probably 15 or 20 causes of death to her campaign. And every time you hit a channel, let's look at an autopsy of the Harris campaign. Plus, the Democrats were their own architects of her autopsy and death, so on their plans. And my other comment to you I wanted to hear your take on is, the average, when I was hearing one of your callers about the billing, healthcare billing, it got me thinking that with 12 to 15 million illegals and most on Medicaid, and the average U.S. citizen uses about 20,000 or 22,000 a year as of 2022, we're probably closing in on $1 trillion worth of healthcare billing from the illegals. So I'm hoping the Trump administration takes a look at that.
Gary, I'm fairly certain they are, and you're right. This is one of the untold stories, is that the impact the illegals have had on our education system, the hospital, the healthcare industry, and a lot of these local towns and communities just have been just overwhelmed by the amount of money they're having to spend to take care of these people. It's just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And by the way, Gary, we also have news, and Gary, thank you for the call. We also have news coming out of Ohio that a woman has actually been charged with eating a cat. No, Dylan, no, I don't know if it was fricasseed. I don't know how the cat was prepared, but it's unfortunate. They told us that wasn't happening. All right, we've got Don back with us. All right, Don, what's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon. Hello?
Okay, we're going to work on that. I don't know what that's all about. Jeez, hello. Folks, just a rule of thumb when you're calling into the program, you got to get right to the point because we have a lot of people that want to weigh in on things, so you got to get right to the point. We'll work on that. Interesting story. Out of Axios, Here's the headline. Ben Berkowitz is the author. Gen Z's financial angst underlies shift to the right. I find this shocking. Gen Z has a lofty salary goal of nearly $600,000 a year, and it underlies a generational shift to the political right. Okay, what? Now, Ben Dieter is a member of Generation Z. Maybe that's why he's in such a bad mood all the time. He doesn't think we're paying him well? Is this true? You're expecting a $600,000 a year salary?
You're not paying that salary? That's Jeez, the question Lord. I'm asking. Who's asking questions?
Young voters, are already moving away from a liberal worldview. But if these attitudes hold, the implications for the next few election cycles are profound. Financial services company Empower surveyed more than 2,200 Americans in September. The Gen Z respondents born between 97 and 2012. What year were you born?
1998.
Wow, you just really barely, you almost became a millennial.
I'm okay with that.
They said they would need to make more than $600,000 a year to be financially successful.
How much?
$600,000 a year to be successful.
Todd, we're going to have to look at my salary after this show.
You're going to have to pick up a couple of shifts.
Mm-hmm.
That's roughly 3 times to 6 times what any other age group said they would need. And it's almost 9 times the average U.S. salary.
I'm curious what your starting salary was, your first job. Because I know I've been talking to some of my friends, and they will not accept their first job out of college if it's not over $27, $28 an hour.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think my first job in newspaper was like $18,000 a year. It was sad, but that was pretty good paycheck back in the day.
Yeah,
I mean, all things considered.
See, that's what's so crazy about these. I mean, Todd, you're an employer now. This
yes.
is your job.
Yes.
These young whippersnappers come straight out of college, and they're asking for your salary.
Yes, they.
Have you noticed that?
Has anybody else noticed that though? You know, you've got these kids coming right out of college, and they want to be a manager. They want a salary that's like six figures.
Don't even get me started on paid leave. They want at least 25 days off paid vacation. They want maternity leave, even if they're boys. They want paternity leave, even if they're not having children. They want mental health days. That's a big one that it now gets slipped in there to the terms and conditions of jobs. If you have a bad day mentally, you get a couple of days off.
I hate to break this to your generation here, Ben, but A lot of people are saying it's just not worth it, you know, that they would almost go without hiring a Gen Zer because of all of the demands of the job. And then, you know, they're videoing everything. They're, you know, they put TikToks up.
They only want to work 2 days in the office.
Oh, that's
three
right.
days at home. So it's hybrid. So that's kind of what job and employers, these employers out there are faced with. Can you meet the demands of this working class?
I mean, I remember when I bought KWAM and the board ops that were working here, they were making minimum wage.
Which is like in Tennessee, seven bucks.
Seven something bucks an hour.
Yeah.
So we immediately doubled it. And it's interesting because after you double it, they're wanting, well, we need
they
more.
Want more.
They want
more.
We want more.
Yeah. Yeah. I know some of those former employees. They're gone.
I mean, the reality is you can only pay, and I'd like to think of myself as a pretty generous owner, but you can only pay what you can pay.
Also, if you're a good worker, if you have a strong work ethic and you put in, I don't know, Todd, you climbed the ladder at Fox. You had to put in your time.
You
got to
work
your
butt
dues.
Off. You got to work your butt off.
And these kids start and they expect six figs.
Big time. And they can't handle the pressure. That's the thing is, if you look at them the wrong way, it's like, you know, they break into tears. And
yeah,
it's just,
we need to work on your comma game, your periods.
I'm a very bad
person. It's very nasty and aggressive emailing. You know if you're in trouble if Tom puts a period on the end of his emails. There's a whole text thread. Everybody's talking. Oh my gosh, I just got a message from Todd Starn. And he put the darn period, which means we're in trouble.
So hold on. You're not making this up, actually.
This is
so
true.
This was a big deal. And I couldn't understand. I was just being grammatically correct in my email. And I put a period on the end of a sentence. And Gen Zers took that as an offense, that I was angry or something.
You are, typically, if you have proper grammar. When you're feeling good, when Todd has his favorite sandwich from Chick-fil-A, he doesn't need to hyper-fixate on things like a period and a comma, because he's in a good mood. He's
grammatically
stuffing his face with a chicken sandwich, so he doesn't add. When he puts a period and a comment, God forbid you get all caps, because that also can happen. You know you stepped in it.
Well, sometimes I forget the cap thing is on, the cap lock, and you're just typing, and you don't want to go back, and you just send it.
I got an email from Todd this morning, and it said, gentle reminder. That was in the headline.
Oh, yeah. Only because I do that. I did do that, actually.
Because he employs Gen Zers. That's Todd trying to be a good boss.
Now, I don't mean to be, I don't mean to be angry.
But in all reality, he's like,
stop talking about boobs and bone marrow on the morning show. What's wrong with you? Hang tight. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio show. Hope you're doing well. Should we annex Canada? We're going to get to that story in just a moment. I don't know. I think it's a joke, but you never know these days. But I want to get to the phones. The conversation we had at the last hour, the end of the last hour, from Axios, Generation Z now says that to be financially successful in life, you need $600,000. The exact dollar amount, $587,000 a year to be financially successful. And as Ben Dieter, our new EP, said, and Ben is also the morning show host, so he pulls double duty here at the building. As Dieter said, a lot of people in his generation believe they should, as soon as you get out of college, you should be making a six-figure salary and you should already be in some sort of a management position. So the kids these days are wanting the titles, they're wanting the money. They're wanting 25 days off. I remember my first job. I mean, I think I got a week's vacation and a couple of sick days, and that was it. But they're wanting 401ks and full health coverage, the whole nine yards. So what advice, ladies and gentlemen, would you give to these young Americans now entering the workforce who are saying the only way to be financially successful is to have $600,000 a year, which is nine times the average U.S. salary? We were looking at the math there with the Social Security Administration. Well, let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. John in Kentucky. All right, John, what say you?
Hey there. First of all, hope you and your entire staff had a great Thanksgiving. Hey, Ben, I got a perfect solution for all those Gen Zers, present company excluded, Ben. There is a day you can get 2.5 days off a year, 100% medical coverage, promotions come. The only thing you have to do is worry about going to war, getting killed, is join the U.S. military or go to the service academies. You complain, do what hundreds of thousands of other American men and women have done for years. So that way, you can serve your country, serve your community, get 30 days off a year, and even when you're sick and in the hospital, your medical is covered. And then when you get out, then you have at least 20 years, you have a great retirement plan, unless something happens to you. That's my solution. Present company excluded, Ben. God bless you guys. I'll listen for and hang up for your comments.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, John. Yeah, look, I love that idea. And I think, you know, doing military service is terrific. You know, it's interesting when you you look at this particular generation, the things they have to deal with that we just did not. I mean, back when we were all growing up, back in the 70s and 80s, you didn't have the internet. You didn't have all of the TikTok and the smartphones. You went outside, you played, you met friends, you talked to people, you had conversations, you had these shared experiences. Everybody went to the movies, watched the same four TV channels. Well, really three. Nobody watched PBS. But, I mean, I know for some people, you know, Dylan, I mean, it's we were talking about this the other day. It's kind of a shock to realize back in the day there were only three TV channels. That's it.
It's pretty wild to think about, actually.
Yeah, it's. Well, that's because we had to do things like read storybooks and go outside and try to catch lightning bugs or fireflies.
Yeah, we were barely taught how to read.
I know.
We're getting the phones at 6 years old now.
Nobody reads. Nobody can write cursive anymore.
Oh, that's true.
What are they teaching you kids in school these days?
I know how to write my name. That's confident.
That's tough.
A Z? You can forget about it.
A Z.
It's a tough word.
One of the reasons that they believe Gen Z is having problems adjusting is because of all these influencers on TikTok and Instagram, and you've seen them, and they're all in their like mid-20s, and they're out there, they're traveling all over the world, they're flying on these private jets, but the secret is they're really not. Most of them are not. Most of them are like, they're like fake green screen backgrounds, and you know, you've got some chick and she's like, oh, I'm in Aruba. When she's actually in, I don't know, Youngstown, Ohio. And there's actually a place you can go. I had no idea this was a thing. But Dylan, you know all the kids on the private jets?
Yeah.
It's actually a set. So you can go. It's a make-believe plane.
It's the perception.
It's all about perception.
Yeah.
So these kids are just as broke as you are. And they're actually broker because they're having to pay all this money to do these photo shoots.
They're broker. Yeah, that's for sure.
Ridiculous. Anyway, Rebecca Rickert, who is with a group called Empower, said many people feel that they're coming up short, talking about Gen Zers, with half believing they're less financially successful compared to others around them. The majority think prosperity is harder to achieve for their generation, which factors into the magic number people attach to success. You know what it is? It's you guys are out there paying $5 for a cup of coffee. I mean, that's what it is. It's like the money is there. It's just going for all the wrong things. And that's youth. So back in the day, we used to spend our money down at the arcade. We'd get, hey, you knew you were living large when you were walking around with a couple of rolls of quarters in your pocket and you could just, you know, play the video games. Hello, Pac-Man. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. What advice would you give to these Gen Zers? Because they do see it. And I feel, it's not that I feel bad for it. I sympathize because you're right. When you go into that whole social media world, it's like these, you know, their peers are living high on the hog when they're not. And it's just, it's not based in reality. I think that's another reason why a lot of people in that age demographic are getting off of the socials. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, coming up 5 o'clock Eastern tonight on Newsmax, the Todd Stearns TV show, Congressman Tim Burchett is going to be our special guest. We're introducing a brand new device. It's called the Dadgummit-O-Meter. So every time the congressman says Dadgummit, we're going to be keeping a numerical tab. So again, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Well, I'm going to go right now to the PatriotMobile.com newsmaker line. Senator Marsha Blackburn from the great state of Tennessee, my senator, by the way. Senator, hope you're doing well. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
We had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and anytime you can spend extra time hugging those babies, it is a good thing. And so we had great time with our kids and grandkids.
That's wonderful. Senator, I know y'all have a lot of work to do between now and Inauguration Day, and it's a pretty exciting time to be in Washington, D.C. Before we get to some of the big issues, I'm curious what those conversations are like. You're meeting with the nominees. What are you hoping to glean from them in your conversations?
What I want to do, and the things I'm asking them, is how they're going to attack specific issues in the department. You know, how do you bring transparency and bring truth back to the FBI so people know that they can depend on it? How do you make certain that you clean house over at the DOJ so that it is focused on fighting crime and not on making criminals out of parents that show up at a school board meeting? How is it that you're going to return power to the states from the Department of Education? How are you going to focus on 21st century warfare and get rid of some of the fraud over at Department of Defense? When it comes to Medicare and Medicaid, how do you deal with the fraud there so that we are certain that our seniors are getting what they need, that those that are on Medicaid are getting what they need, and the money is not going to shysters and fraudsters who are defrauding not only the enrollees in those programs, but the American taxpayer?
Are you, during the conversations you've had with the president's nominees, what's been your overall impression of the people that President-elect Trump has nominated?
First of all, they are individuals who are well qualified, and they probably are more likely a non-traditional choice because they're not D.C. insiders. They are outsiders. Secondly, they're people who understand that the bureaucracy has grown so big that it takes care of itself and puts itself first, instead of putting the American people and our nation's security first. And I want to be certain that the nominees understand and appreciate that.
Senator, one of the things that you've been a pretty outspoken supporter of is this move to allow local law enforcement to capture and help deport illegals. That seems to be what the Borders Are Tom Homan is wanting to accomplish. How important is that to the effort to allow local officers to do something like that?
It is vitally important to be able to allow local law enforcement. You know, Todd, they are on the front line when it comes to dealing with the issue of illegal immigration, drug trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking, gangs that are going into communities that have never seen a gang. It is your local law enforcement on the front line. So my CLEAR Act legislation I have had for a while, and everybody should agree with this, it would allow local law enforcement, when they detain someone who is a criminal illegal alien, they can, or when they apprehend someone, they can detain them, prosecute them, call ICE. ICE has to deport them. Then ICE has to reimburse that local law enforcement agency for every penny that they have spent in that apprehension, that detention, that prosecution, and getting that person deported and removed from the country.
And Senator, another thing I really appreciate about this legislation you've introduced, and again, folks, it's called the Criminal Alien Removal Act, the CLEAR Act. It would also limit federal money to states and cities that are sanctuary jurisdictions, and that needs to be done.
Oh, absolutely. If you're not going to abide by the law, this bill says you're not getting the money. So if you're going to refuse to work with ICE, and if you're going to refuse to rid your community of criminal illegal aliens, then you are not going to get money from the U.S. Department of Justice.
Senator Marsha Blackburn is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And, Senator, I've been a huge, huge supporter of the Department of Government Efficiency. I know you have as well. And you've made a very interesting proposal. You want to freeze all federal salaries until Elon can fix what's broken in D.C.
Yes. One of the things that we have done with my legislation is on day one, when President Trump takes office, immediately freeze all federal salaries, all federal hiring, and freeze that spending. And if you do this, it allows you to give time for DOGE to work, to begin to make those necessary cuts, and Congress the time to respond. The other thing, as you well know, Todd, when an administration is headed out the door, they have a tendency to drain the accounts by giving big bonuses and giving people huge promotions and upping them on the employment scale. What this would do is be retroactive to January 1. So therefore, they would not be able to do that and drain those accounts. It would make it possible for us to have a cleaner slate as we start to reduce the size of the federal government.
And just to illustrate that point, if you remember a couple of years ago, Senator, people were genuinely shocked to discover that the highest paid government worker was not the president of the United States. It was Dr. Anthony Fauci, making over $400,000 a year in 2019.
That's exactly right. And so what you want to do is be able to say, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to give these bonuses. You're not going to move someone from a G3 to a G10 on the employment scale. That's not going to happen. And this would tie the hands of the bureaucracy and give us the opportunity to eliminate positions, to begin the process of enacting my legislation that would move departments out of D.C. and move them across the country.
I love it. It's just a terrific idea. And you always introduce this common sense legislation. And I'm excited to see this move through. One final question. How are things going with your colleagues in the Senate? Are we going to be able to get all the Republicans on board here to get the president's nominees through?
You know, the Senate is in the personnel business, and we've had a meeting today, and we actually talked with Speaker Johnson from the House about how we hit that tempo with handling personnel and handling legislation. I believe with 53 Republican senators, we're going to be able to get each and every one of these nominees across the finish line. Our goal is going to be to do it as quickly as we can. As I have said, as soon as the president takes the oath, the U.S. Senate should return to the chamber. And before we leave that chamber, we need to have the president's cabinet confirmed so that they are ready to go to work day one. The administration is already operating under an MOU with the Trump transition team so that we have a very seamless transfer of authority. Those landing teams, transition teams are in place. We want to make certain that this is done quickly. And the best way to do it is to get those secretaries confirmed and then immediately move to confirmation of their deputies and assistants.
10,000% right. Senator, we're going to have to leave it there, folks. Call your senators in your state and tell them to support Senator Blackburn's great legislation here, the CLEAR Act. So vitally important that we do that. And again, also supporting her efforts regarding the Department of Government efficiency. Senator, thank you for coming on the show today.
You got it. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. There you go, folks. Senator Marsha Blackburn. Wow. A fierce conservative warrior. We certainly appreciate her efforts there up on Capitol Hill. Wow. Can you believe that, though? Dr. Anthony Fauci was the highest paid government employee out of all of them. This is insanity. And again, and you heard Dieter talking about this earlier, most of the government employees in Washington, D.C. don't even show up to work. They're all working remotely. And day one, we've got to tell them you're either coming into work or you're going to find another job. And the FBI, I'm telling you, there are some good rank and file folks. We're going to have to weed them out. and get those people, set those people aside. And then Cash Patel is going to have to go in there, and he is going to have to truly clean house. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. So, the Prime Minister of Canada was down at Mar-a-Lago having dinner, and cut number two, please.
And tonight we're getting some new details about that Trump-Trudeau dinner from two people who were at the table. We are told that when Trudeau told President-elect Trump that new tariffs would kill the Canadian economy, Trump joked to him that if Canada can't survive without ripping off the U.S. to the tune of $100 billion a year, then maybe Canada should become the 51st state and Trudeau could become its governor.
I love that. So this is an interesting thought. People are already coming up with names for the provinces up there, the whole nine yards. So just curious here, folks, do you think we ought to do it? Should we annex Canada? It's a lot of land mass up there. I'll tell you that much. So I don't know. Well, you know, the folks in Montreal, they speak, well, they do speak French, but I mean, that's where the original Cajuns came from, was Acadiana. So that part of the country. So there you go. Also, Cash Patel is creating all sorts of controversy among the Democrats, and they're terrified of this guy, just terrified. And Cash Patel is probably one of the more well-qualified FBI directors out there. So here's the Washington Post writer David Ignatius talking about Cash Patel and the power the FBI has. Cut five.
Away, he wanted to install a Trump loyalist in a key position at the National Security Agency, one of our most sensitive intelligence collection facilities. He talked with the CIA about reducing the Pentagon's support for CIA operations. Whole string of things. He made clear to the people that he was working with at the Pentagon that he was not there to do the normal job of being a chief of staff, but to do the president's bidding. And I think what's of concern when you think about him as FBI director is the FBI director has extraordinary powers to conduct surveillance on American citizens. And those powers to listen into phone calls, to read mail, so to speak, would be directed by somebody who has shown that he has a very political agenda. And as you said in his book, he had an enemies list.
Really? Like James Comey didn't have an agenda? Like Christopher Wray didn't have an agenda? Like, dare I say, J. Edgar Hoover didn't have an agenda? And that's the whole point, is that Cash Patel's going to go in there and dismantle all of this nonsense. And that's got everybody terrified. Our good friends over at Media Research Center, the home of Newsbusters, put together this great montage of the drive-by media. Cut number 12.
Donald Trump is now apparently considering appointing loyalist Cash Patel to the position of FBI director. How dangerous might this be?
Cash Patel, who's a total bomb thrower, MAGA person.
I suppose if we still had the ability to be shocked, it's shocking.
Who is this man and why did so many top officials fear him?
It's a terrible development for the men and women of the FBI and also for the nation.
There have been some concerns voiced by John Bolton.
He believes in nothing except serving Donald Trump.
Patel is a MAGA loyalist known for his extreme rhetoric.
Patel has promised to go after journalists, among others, and more or less dismantle the agency.
Putting someone like Cash Patel in the position of director of the FBI is, I believe, extremely, extremely dangerous.
The most dangerous nominee that we've seen yet.
yet to our democracy.
I think he's not a distraction. I think this is actually one of the dangerous ones that we need to be paying attention to.
It's dangerous to put someone like this in charge.
People called Patel dangerous.
How dangerous is that?
Deeply dangerous.
Extraordinarily dangerous.
And this is a very dangerous moment.
Patel is facing criticism for a lack of experience.
He has indeed, as you note, no qualifications.
Kash Patel is profoundly unqualified for this job.
Kash Patel, who has absolutely no business being the director of the FBI.
There is no ideology. There's no agenda here other than retribution.
Singularly focused on exacting revenge.
He has talked about targeting people
to go after journalists, to go after political critics.
You have the makings of, you know, a not so slow motion authoritarian takeover of the United States government. And people ought to be really concerned about this.
All right. Well, they're dangerous. He's dangerous. He's dangerous. That's great. That's the kind of person that needs to be confirmed. If somebody like Kash Patel terrifies the mainstream media at that level, he's got my vote. He's got my support. 901-260-5926. The only question is, do you completely dismantle the FBI and create a new agency, or do you try to reform it? Is it possible to reform the FBI? 901-260-5926. Huge news. Rob Schmidt just beat CNN in the ratings. Newsmax's number one host, Rob Schmidt, just had a bigger audience than CNN during any hour of the day. This is huge, folks. Millions of Americans like you are now making the switch to Newsmax. They're getting the real facts, no BS, no spin, just the truth. Even President Trump says he's watching Newsmax, and you should too. Rob Schmidt and Newsmax are on all major cable systems. YouTube TV just added us. By the way, you can watch my show on YouTube as well. If your system doesn't carry Newsmax, call and cancel. Go to getnewsmax.com, and we're going to help you find a new carrier, getnewsmax.com. 40 million Americans now watch Newsmax, and you need to find out why. So go to getnewsmax.com and start watching today. Newsmax is real news for real people just like you. Well, this is an interesting story. The British Board of Film Classification, they have slapped a trigger warning on the blockbuster hit Wicked. Any of you folks seen Wicked? Dylan, have you seen Wicked? No, you haven't.
I saw you looking at me. Todd, I saw Wicked.
Why?
Okay. Wicked is a good musical production. And as a music person, I have to appreciate it.
Did the wife make you go?
Did she make me? She I will say you. Yes. Okay, yeah, yes, she made me go.
That's a good answer.
It was an awful time. Yeah.
I'm curious. What was the? Did you enjoy the movie? Was it bad?
I genuinely enjoyed it, actually, okay. Because we saw it at the Orpheum here in Memphis, and it was a great production. I mean, the music from a I'm coming at it from a musical standpoint, not necessarily the film, whatever, but musical score wise, it was just. It was fantastic.
What's that song? Everybody sings it. Let it go. Let it go.
That's Frozen. That's really close.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I get them all. It's all the same to me.
The most popular song is probably Defying Gravity.
Oh, is that where that song came from?
It is, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So anyway, the British Board of Film Classification has issued a warning about Wicked. They're saying that Wicked is promoting discrimination against a green-skinned woman and persecuted talking animals. No, I'm not making this up. The new movie musical adapted from the popular stage show is a prequel to the 1939 classic The Wizard of Oz. The plot of Wicked follows the friendship of Elphaba, a misunderstood young woman with green skin, and Glinda, a popular rich girl, played by Ariana Grande. Despite the famous Green Witch at the heart of the story, the UK's film classification body has slapped a trigger warning on the much-beloved musical. They say a green-skinned woman is mocked, bullied, and humiliated because of her skin color. That's terrible. This is the 21st century. Green people! Go sit in the front of the bus. Or the trolley, whatever they call it there. Oh, for heaven's sakes. This is, you can't make this up. The writer Simon Evans mocked the decision. Trigger warnings are ridiculous and counterproductive at the best of times, dampening excitement, destroying creativity, dramatic tension, and creating a muffled atmosphere appropriate to an HR seminar than a movie. This is true. Frank Ferdy, and a professor of sociology, says green-skinned people under attack, you can't make it up. It is evident the author of this silly classification are living on planet bonkers. Is that past Uranus or right before? Oh, it's before Uranus. All right, thank you. Oh, pardon me, Uranus. The fantasy land of Oz is also full of fictional creatures such as Munchkins. Are they going after, seriously, are they going after the midget people? Pardon me, little people? Are they going after the little people? Or what about the flying monkeys, for crying out loud? Or the goats? Just asking here. I mean, if this is really going to cause that all that much controversy. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Again, if your skin looks like matcha, then you may be triggered by Wicked. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have a fun conversation on Newsmax. It's going to be great. So the Menendez brothers are back in the headlines. You know, there's a very controversial Netflix true crime series, and Ryan Murphy, the guy behind American Horror Story and Glee, this guy is a radical LGBT activist. So everything that this guy produces is about the LGBT agenda. That's just it. So now they're basically using this series on Netflix to convince people that the Menendez brothers are actually the true victims here. And I remember this all happened back in, 1989? Mm-hmm. I was still in college. You weren't born yet.
Oh, but I know the story now, Todd.
But you know the story.
Oh, do I ever. They're victims.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So they're spoiled brats is what they were.
So this is all over social media. They're saying that the brothers are sex symbols. I have a story by Fox 8. The headline there, why are teens on TikTok trying to dress like the Menendez brothers? So everybody's wearing sweaters. They want to dress like these two guys. And by the end of watching this Netflix documentary, which I did last night, you truly felt bad for the brothers. And I, to your listeners, I had to come in and Todd had to relay the facts of the case, what actually happened to the parents on that fateful night, August 20th, 1989.
So it's pretty nasty. And the interesting part of this is that Eric Menendez actually confessed all of this to his therapist at the time, mm-hmm. Which is how it all kind of sort of became unraveled. He was, I believe he was extorting them for money or something. It was just there was some crazy stuff going on there. But anyway, his father was very, very successful in the music industry. And the wife, she was a stay-at-home mom. And by all indications, you know, they were pretty tough on the kids, but, you know, they just wanted the best for their sons. But now they're alleging that they were both abused by their father, the mother was verbally abusive, and basically they deserve to have their faces shot off.
Yeah, that's, and actually at the very end of it, they throw out a hotline for sexual abuse victims.
Wow.
That was the last part of the movie. But this, I've noticed this. You remember the Jeffrey Dahmer Netflix documentary and series that came out? It wasn't a documentary, it was a series. It was a televised, and the same thing started happening. And they actually sold Jeffrey Dahmer's glasses, which who would ever want those glasses? They sold for like $150,000.
That's disgusting. So then you had, if you remember, this is not the only, remember the Boston bomber?
Mm-hmm.
The Boston Marathon bombers, the Sarnaev brothers, the one who survived. He's been treated as a sex symbol, right? The The Rolling Stone did this huge cover story, and they portrayed him in the photographs and everything as this sex symbol. And the guy was getting all this these letters, love letters. All these girls were throwing themselves at this Muslim terrorist.
Mm-hmm. I think it kind of epitomizes what our society has gone through, where everybody is a victim. These boys were victims. Jeffrey Dahmer was a victim. No one's saying that what these boys did was okay, necessarily. They are saying that this was their last shot. No pun intended. This was their last available toll to them, which just so happened to be a shotgun to the back of their mom's head 10 times.
So the Eric Menendez, the older brother,
mm-hmm.
had he had hair loss like as like 18 or 19 years old.
Side plot.
And so he was bald. And so when you watch the Netflix movie, which I did, it was so disgusting. It was just stomach churning. But when you there's a scene in the movie where his brother gets into it. He screams at him. They're getting into a big fight at the dinner table. Mom and dad are there. And so I forget what they were talking about. The younger brother was always the one who was always like screwing up and maybe, you know, not as successful as his dad wanted him to be, a tennis star. And so he goes over to his brother and snatches his head. He's wearing a wig, a toupee.
Oh, no way. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, well, complete down the, you know, the hair gone.
Do you know what they say? They say the boys would be walking the streets today had it not been for OJ's case. They said it's actually OJ's fault because
absolutely
the state had flubbed the case of the Menendez brothers. And then once again, another high profile case, OJ Simpson, it splashed across television sets across the world. They lost that one, and then they retried the Menendez brothers, and they were like, we're not messing this one up.
No, no, no. Yeah, they had to. Yeah, that's a fair point. And the OJ case was just insane.
The prosecutor for the state that tried the first case, she was a young lawyer, brunette, very well-spoken. It's just a class act. She was actually interviewed in this Netflix documentary, and she said, all of these young little TikTok kids that are in their feels about the Menendez brothers, we have guns in our house if you try coming after her, because now she's getting death threats 20 years later. She's getting death threats because she tried the case against these two quote unquote victims. And she said, by the way, facts over feelings all day long. And if you try to come at me, we have guns and we're not afraid to use them. Said that in the Netflix documentary.
This country is screwed up. And I mean, look, we're not going to be able to solve all the problems over the next 4 years. One of the bigger ones is we got a lot of mentally crazy people out there. And a lot of them are of that age,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would go out there and do something like this.
Yeah, that or just wear the sweaters of the boys. Now, I'm not saying don't wear sweaters this holiday season, but they're cosplaying. Don't wear Jeffrey Dahmer glasses. I can't believe in the year of our Lord 2024, I have to tell people not to wear his glasses.
That's disgusting. These people are sick.
They're
sick.
Is the case closed? Oh, and then the JonBenet case. Oh my gosh, they've been dropping these all over Netflix. I'm reliving the 90s.
I watched that one. That
Who do you think did
out.
It?
I don't think the parents did it.
Okay.
I don't think the parents.
Because there's a lot of anti-parent defamation in that series.
God.
You think it's the parents by the end of it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, back when you relive that, what we're going to do, we need to do a real
true crime.
Yes, a 1 hour of it.
Okay.
Insane. All right, Ben Dieter, thank you, folks. That music means we've got to scoot out of here. We're back tomorrow, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. In the meantime, head over to ToddStearns.com and check out our stories there. Be good, America.